British Sky Broadcasting presents Groundhog Day, a Columbia Pictures release, voiced by Paul Vates on behalf of MCS Agency. Groundhog Day, a Trevor Albert production, starring Bill Murray as Phil Connors, Andy McDowell as Rita, and Chris Elliott as Larry, with Stephen Topolowski as Ned Ryerson. Screenplay by Danny Rubin and Harold Ramis. Music by George Fenton. Directed by Harold Ramis. Phil Connors is a weatherman. He's standing in front of a blue screen and gesticulating at satellite images that only appear on TV screens.
Somebody asked me today, Phil, if you could be anywhere in the world, where would you like to be? And I said to him, probably right here, Elko, Nevada. Our nation's high, it's 79 today. Out in California, they're going to have some warm weather tomorrow, gang wars, and some very overpriced real estate. Up in the Pacific Northwest, as you can see, they're going to have some very, very tall trees. It'll be clear across the Rockies and the Great Plains mostly, but look out, here comes trouble.
He blows hard and seems to move the clouds.
Oh, boy. Front coming our way. Look out. What's that going to mean to us here in the Three Rivers area? One of these big blue things, this cold, frigid Arctic air, this big mass coming out of the north. It's going to meet up with all of this moisture coming up out of the Gulf, going to mix together at high altitudes and cause some snow. Going out on a limb now, not going to hit us here in Pittsburgh, going to push off and hit Altoona. Close call, folks. Let's take a look at the 5-day. As you can see, nothing to be too scared about.
He returns to the news desk.
Bundle up warm, of course, but I think you can leave your galoshes at home. I'm not going to be here for the 10 o'clock. Tomorrow is Groundhog Day, and I'm going out to Punxsutawney for our country's oldest groundhog festival. So, as you know, according to the legend, tomorrow, February 2nd, if the groundhog wakes and sees a shadow, we've got 6 more weeks of winter to look forward to. So keep your fingers crossed, huh?
Sounds like a lot of fun. You must really enjoy it. This is your 3rd year in a row, isn't it, Phil?
4, Nan. 4.
Thanks, Phil. Up next, entertainment editor Diane Kingman looks at sex and violence in the movies. Stay with us.
The studio lights fade and Phil dashes off to Larry and Kenny.
Have fun in Punxsutawney, Phil.
For your information, hairdo, there is a major network interested in me.
Yeah, that would be the Home Shopping Network.
Thanks, Larry. Go wait in the van, will you?
That was nice, Phil. Big trees.
Stop, Kenny. Look, can you handle the 10 or not?
Yeah. Listen, if for any reason you don't want to rush back, I can do the 5 tomorrow.
Oh, come on. I want to stay an extra second in Punxsutawney, please.
Well, Rita thinks it would be a great idea to stay around for some of the other events, you know, get some incredible footage. The people and the fun, the excitement. You haven't worked with her yet, have you?
She's really nice. I think she's going to be a really good producer. You guys are going to have fun.
She's fun, but not my kind of fun. I will be here for the 5. Rita!
Rita, his new producer, has been playing with the blue screen, watching her body disappear underneath the weather map. Scenes of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The river, the bridge, and the tower blocks in the distance. On a very busy road, in the traffic, a small, white, outside broadcast van heads out of town. Larry is driving. Phil is in the passenger seat and Rita sits at the back. Larry is unshaven and wears a woolly hat. He is the cameraman and general technician. Phil wears a suit and looks uncomfortable and anxious in the van, whereas Rita, with long curly hair, is young, confident and energetic. The van now passes through a small town in idyllic countryside.
Can you keep a secret, Larry? I'm probably leaving PBH, so this will be the last time we do the groundhog together.
I don't understand what's wrong with the Groundhog Festival. You know, when I worked in San Diego, I covered the Swallows returning to Capistrano 6 years in a row.
Someday somebody's going to see me interviewing a groundhog and think I don't have a future.
I think it's a nice story. He comes out. He looks around. He wrinkles up his little nose. He sees a shadow. He doesn't see a shadow. It's nice. People like it.
You are new, aren't you? You know, people like blood sausage, too. People are morons.
Nice attitude.
I want you to look in the mirror and see what you look like when you do that little groundhog thing, okay? For me, once he comes out, and there he looks at his little shadow. Would you like some blood sausage? I have some here in the glove compartment.
I like blood sausage.
Finally, the van turns off the highway and passes a giant sign with a huge groundhog on it. It says, "Welcome to Punxsutawney, the original weather capital of the world since 1887. Population 6,782. The van enters the town and rounds the town square. There is a stage and crowd barriers are being set up. The square is neat and tidy. The people in the streets look happy and relaxed. The van pulls up outside the Pennsylvanian Hotel. As they get out, Phil is not pleased.
Rita, I can't stay here.
Oh, prima donna.
What's the matter, Phil?
I hate this place. I stayed here 2 years ago. I was miserable. It's a flea bag. I'm not staying here.
You're not staying here.
I'm not?
No. Larry's just dropping me off. I booked in a very nice bed and breakfast in Cherry Street.
Great. You know, I think this is one of the traits of a really good producer. Keep the talent happy.
Anything I can do?
Would you help me with my pelvic tilt?
Within reason. Would you like to come to dinner with Larry and me?
No, thank you. I've seen Larry eat. You get your sleep. I'll see you in the morning.
Don't be late.
Did he actually call himself the talent?
Next morning, all is quiet. Phil's radio alarm clock turns from 5:59 to 6 o'clock. Phil wakes up. He is underneath a flowery eiderdown. He slowly gets up and at the sink splashes water onto his face. He looks at the view outside of his window.
Rise and shine and don't forget your booties because it's cold out there today.
It's cold out there every day. What is this, Miami Beach?
Hardly. And, you know, you can expect hazardous travel later today with that, you know, that the blizzard thing.
Oh, that blizzard thing. Mm-hmm. That blizzard thing. Oh, well, here's the report. The National Weather Service is calling for a big blizzard thing.
Yes, they are. But, you know, there's another reason why today is especially exciting.
Especially cold.
Especially cold, yeah. Okay. But the big question on everybody's lips.
Yeah, their chap lips.
On their chap lips, right.
Lips.
Do you think Phil's gonna come out and see a shadow?
Punxsutawney Phil.
That's right, woodchuck chuckers. It's Groundhog Day! Get up and check that hog out there!
Yeah! Sooey, sooey. Come here, Groundhog!
Later, Phil meets a man in the hallway.
Morning!
Morning.
You off to see the groundhog?
Yes, I am.
Do you think it's gonna be an early spring?
I'm predicting March 21st.
Oh, good guess. You know, I think that actually is the first day of spring.
In the breakfast room, the landlady, Mrs. Lancaster, greets him.
Did you sleep well, Mr. Connors?
I slept alone, Mrs. Lancaster.
Would you like some coffee?
I don't suppose there's any possibility of getting an espresso or a cappuccino this morning, is there?
Oh, I really don't know.
How to spell espresso or cappuccino. This looks fine.
I hope you enjoyed the festivities.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure I'm going to.
There's talk of a blizzard.
Well, we may catch a break, and that blizzard's going to blow right by us. All of this moisture coming up out of the south, by midday, is probably going to push on to the east of us. And at high altitudes, it's going to crystallize and give us what we call snow. Probably be some accumulation. But here in Punxsutawney, our high's going to get up to about 30 today. Teens tonight, chance precipitation about 20% today, 20% tomorrow. Did you want to talk about the weather, or were you just making chit-chat?
Chit-chat.
Okay. See you later. Bye-bye.
Oh, will you be checking out today, Mr. Connors?
Chance of departure today, 100%.
With scarf, coat, and coffee, he heads outside. On a street corner, Phil passes an old man begging. Phil taps all of his pockets. Then, a nerdy man with large glasses and briefcase spots him.
Phil? Hey! Phil? Phil? Phil Connors? Phil Connors, I thought that was you.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for watching.
Hey, hey. Now, don't you tell me you don't remember me, because I sure as heck fire remember you.
Not a chance.
Ned! Ryerson! Needle Nose Ned, Ned the Head. Come on, buddy. Case Western High. Ned Ryerson, I did the whistling belly button trick at the high school talent show. Bing! Ned Ryerson got the shingles real bad senior year, almost didn't graduate. Bing again! Ned Ryerson, I dated your sister Mary Pat a couple times till you told me not to anymore. Well?
Ned Ryerson?
Bing!
Bing! So did you turn pro with that belly button thing, Ned, or
no,
what?
Phil, I sell insurance.
What a shock.
Do you have life insurance? Because if you do, you could always use a little more. Am I right, or am I right, or am I right? Right.
Ned, I would love to stand here and talk with you, but I'm not going to. See you.
Hey, that's all right. I'll walk with you. You know, whenever I see an opportunity now, I charge it like a bull. Ned the Bull, that's me now. You know, I got friends of mine who live and die by the actuarial tables, and I say, hey, it's all one big crapshoot anywho. Tell me, have you ever heard of single premium life? Because I think that really could be the ticket for you. Oh, God! It is so good to see you. What are you doing for dinner?
Something else. It's been great seeing you, Needlehead. Take care.
Watch out for that first step. It's a doozy.
Phil has stepped into a puddle. In Gobbler's Knob, the crowds gather. Phil, stamping his foot to shake off excess water, enters the throng. He is grumpy. All around him, people are having fun. Rita and Larry are set up ready to film by the stage area, the focus of everyone's attention.
Ben.
It was horrible. A giant leech got me.
You're missing all the fun. These people are great. Some of them have been partying all night long. They sing songs till they get too cold, and then they go sit by the fire and they get warm, and then they come back and they sing some more.
Yeah, they're hicks, Rita. So, you sleep okay without me? You tossed and turned, didn't you?
You're incredible.
Who told you?
Okay. It's groundhog time.
All six groundhog officials arrive on the stage.
Okay, on me in three, two, one. Once a year, the eyes of the nation turn to this tiny hamlet in western Pennsylvania to watch a master at work. The master? Punxsutawney Phil, the world's most famous weatherman, the groundhog, who, as legend has it, can predict the coming of an early spring. So I guess the question we have to ask ourselves today is, does Phil feel lucky?
Everyone looks at the stage.
Then it's the same old shtick every year. The guy comes out with a big stick and raps on the door. They pull the little rat out, they talk to him, the rat talks back, and then they tell us what's gonna happen.
An official opens the small door in the giant tree trunk and produces a groundhog.
Oh, isn't he cute?
Hey, do you like your guys with the prominent upper teeth?
No.
The head official talks to the groundhog and laughs, pretending it has replied. He moves to the microphone.
This February 2nd, at 7:20 and 30 seconds, Punxsutawney Phil, the seer of seers, prognosticator of prognosticators, emerged reluctantly but alertly in Punxsutawney, PA, and stated in groundhogese, I definitely see a
On me in three. This is one time where television really fails to capture the true excitement of a large squirrel predicting the weather. I, for one, am very grateful to have been here. From Punxsutawney, this is Phil Connors. So long.
Okay, we'll try it again without the sarcasm.
We got it.
Prima donnas.
Later, the van has left Punxsutawney. But as it travels, the weather worsens, and soon a blizzard is in full swing.
Boy, take a look at this.
What is going on?
I don't know, Phil. Perhaps it's that giant blizzard we're not supposed to get.
This is impossible.
Hey, no. Nobody honks this horn but me, okay, pal?
They pull up at the end of a stationary queue of traffic.
No!
No!
Without his coat, Phil gets out into the driving snow. Larry makes him jump. Phil walks up to a policeman dealing with the traffic. The cold gets to him as he talks.
We gotta take this rig out of here.
Hey, Commander, what's going on?
There's nothing going on. We're closing the road. Big blizzard moving in.
What blizzard? It's a couple of flakes.
Don't you listen to the weather. We got a major storm here.
I make the weather. All of this moisture coming up out of the Gulf is going to push off to the east and then out to us.
Pal, you got that moisture on your head. Now you can go back to Punxsutawney, or you can go ahead and freeze to death. It's your choice. So what's it going to be?
I'm thinking.
Later.
Come on. All the long distance lines are down. What about the satellite? Is it snowing in space? Don't you have some kind of a line that you keep open for emergencies or for celebrities? I'm both. I'm a celebrity in an emergency. Can you patch me through on that line, please?
Phil is clobbered on the head by a man's snow shovel. He's not impressed. Later at the Pennsylvanian Hotel bar.
Can I have one more of these with some booze in it, please?
The barman gives a knowing smile.
Oh, I like it here.
Phil, you going to the groundhog dinner?
No, I had groundhog for lunch. Wasn't bad. Tastes like chicken. You two run along. Wow, there. Looking foxy tonight, man. Hey, is your troop going to be selling cookies again this year?
Oh. That's so funny, Phil.
So what are you going to do?
I think I'm going to go back to my room and take a hot shower and maybe read a little Hustler or something.
Suit yourself.
In his shower, the water is cold. Very cold. In the corridor, Phil meets Mrs. Lancaster.
Yo, Mom, isn't there any hot water?
Oh, no, there wouldn't be today.
Of course not. That's silly.
Sweet dreams.
The alarm clock turns to 6 a.m. Phil wakes. He is about to get up and wash his face, but instead stares a moment at the radio.
How's it going, boys? You're playing yesterday's tape.
Oh, well, here's the report. The National Weather Service is calling for a big blizzard thing.
Yes, yeah. They are. But, you know, there's another reason why today is especially exciting.
Especially cold.
Especially cold, yeah. Okay. But the big question on everybody's lips.
Yeah, they're chapped lips.
They're chapped lips. Right. Do you think Phil's going to come out and see a shadow?
Punxsutawney Phil.
That's right, woodchuck chuckers. It's Groundhog Day! Get up and check that hog out there!
Yeah! Ooh-wee, come here, Groundhog!
The view out of the window is the same.
What the hell?
He looks around the room. Later, he meets a man in the hallway.
Morning! To see the groundhog?
Yeah?
Think it'll be an early spring.
Didn't we do this yesterday?
I don't know what you mean.
He pins him to the wall.
Don't mess with me, pork chop. What day is this?
It's February 2nd. Groundhog Day.
You know, I thought it was yesterday.
Oh.
Phil looks worried. He walks downstairs and enters the breakfast room. He stares at everyone around him. Mrs. Lancaster greets him.
Did you sleep well, Mr. Connors?
Did I sleep well?
Would you like some coffee?
Yes, please. I think I'll have a double.
I hope you enjoy the festivities. There's talk of a blizzard.
Do you ever have deja vu, Mrs. Lancaster?
I don't think so, but I could check with the kitchen.
No, that's okay. Thank you.
Will you be checking out today, Mr. Connors?
I'd say the chance of departure is 80%.
75-80.
He walks outside and calls to a lady crossing the road.
Excuse me. Excuse me. Where's everybody going?
To Gobbler's Knob. It's Groundhog Day.
It's still just once a year, isn't it?
He passes the old man, begging, and taps all of his pockets. Then he is spotted.
Hey! Phil? Phil? Hey! Phil Connors! I thought that was you. My, oh my, Phil Connors. Now, don't you say you don't remember me, because I sure as heck fire remember you. Well?
Ned Ryerson?
Bing! Oh, first shot right out of the box! So, how's it going, old buddy?
Well, to say the truth, Nitty, I'm not feeling real well. Would you excuse me?
Well, you know, it's funny you should mention your health, because you will never guess what I do now.
Do you sell insurance?
Oh, Bing, again, you are sharp as a tack today. Do you have life insurance, Phil? Because if you do, you could always use a little more, right? I mean, who couldn't? But you want to know something? I got the feeling you ain't got any. Am I right or am I right? Or am I right? Am I right?
I gotta go.
Phil! Watch out for that first step. It's a doozy.
Phil has stepped into a puddle. In Gobbler's Knob, the crowds gather. Phil, stamping his foot to shake off excess water, enters the throng. He is confused and looking all about him. As before, people are having fun. Rita and Larry are set up ready to film by the stage area, the focus of everyone's attention.
Phil! Phil, over here!
Where have you been?
Rita, do me a favor. I need someone to give me a good, hard slap in the face.
She does.
How's that?
Good.
If you need any help with the other cheek, let me know. I'm right here.
Something's going on. I don't know what to do.
Are you drunk or something?
Drunk's more fun. Can I be serious with you for a minute?
I don't know. Can you?
Yes, I'm being serious. I'm having a problem. I may be having a problem.
Rita, Rita.
It's groundhog time.
See? I knew you were going to say that. I really feel weird.
Let's just do this, Phil. Then we'll talk.
All right, on me in 3, 2, 1... Well, it's Groundhog Day. Again? And that must mean that we're up here at Gobbler's Knob, waiting for the forecast from the world's most famous groundhog weatherman, Punxsutawney Phil, who's just about to tell us how much more winter we can expect.
Phil looks desperate. The official knocks on the little door.
This is a riot.
Phil stares at the crowd in bewilderment.
Oh, isn't he cute?
20 and 30 seconds, Punxsutawney Phil, the seer of seers, prognosticator of prognosticators.
Phil drops his microphone and walks away.
Phil.
Later, in the shower.
Ha!
Oh, oh my gosh! Ha!
Yeah, sport, I know there's a blizzard. When are the long distance lines going to be repaired? Well, what if there is no tomorrow? There wasn't one today. Hello? Hello?
Phil is on his bed. He puts the phone down and looks at a pencil. An idea strikes him. He purposefully breaks it in two and places it by the alarm clock. Then he settles down into bed and stares at it. The alarm clock turns to 6 a.m. Phil wakes with a start. He's shocked and confused. He remembers the pencil and searches for it. When he finds it, it is in one piece. He swallows hard and wonders what to do. Later in the hallway...
Morning! Up to see the groundhog?
He swerves past the man in the hallway and goes straight downstairs. He heads for the door.
Oh, did you sleep well, Mr.?
Outside, he runs down the road. The old man begs for money. Phil panics and dodges him.
Gah!
He is spotted.
Hey, Phil! Phil Connors! I thought, where
Phil tries to push him away, and he steps in the puddle.
Because I sure as heck fire remember you. It's me, Ned Ryerson. Measle nose, Ned, Ned the head. Come on, buddy. Case Western. Hey, hey, hey!
Phil, Phil, over here. Where have you been?
Can I talk to you about a matter that's not work related?
You never talk about work.
We really have to talk. Come on. Hey, it's a creative meeting. Forget it.
Wait a second. We've got work to do.
No, I don't. I've already done it twice. Now, when you get finished, come and meet me in the diner.
Phil!
What's that all about?
I don't know.
Prima donnas.
Later, in the Tip Top Cafe, Rita sits with Phil.
More coffee, hon? No, thanks. Just a check, please. These sticky buns are just heaven.
Aren't they?
Oh, dude, just put that anywhere, pal, yeah!
A waiter has dropped a tray.
Okay, now tell me why you're too sick to work, and it better be good.
Rita, I'm reliving the same day over and over. Groundhog Day, today.
Okay, I'm waiting for the punchline.
No, really, this is the third time. It's like yesterday never happened.
I am racking my brain, but I can't even begin to imagine why you'd make up something like this.
I'm not making it up. I am asking you for help.
Okay, what do you want me to do?
I don't know. You're a producer. Come up with something.
You want my advice? I think you should get your head examined if you expect me to believe a stupid story like that, Phil.
Phil? Like the groundhog, Phil?
Yeah, like the groundhog, Phil.
Look up for your shadow there, pal.
Morons, your bus is leaving.
Larry.
You guys ready? We better get going if we're going to stay ahead of the weather.
Let's talk about it back in Pittsburgh.
I'm not going back to Pittsburgh.
Why not?
Because of the blizzard.
I thought you said that was going to hit Altoona.
Yeah, I know that's what I said.
Phil, I think you need help.
That's what I've been saying, Rita. I need help.
At the doctor's.
Well, no spots, no clots, no tumors, no lesions, no aneurysms. At least none that I can see, Mr. Connors. Of course, if you want a CAT scan or an MRI, you're going to have to go into Pittsburgh.
I can't go into Pittsburgh.
Why can't you go into Pittsburgh?
I told you there's a blizzard.
All right, the blizzard. You know what you may need, Mr. Connors?
A biopsy.
A psychiatrist.
Phil is on the couch.
That's an unusual problem, Mr. Connors. Most of my work is with couples, families. I have an alcoholic now.
Well, you went to college, right? I mean, it wasn't veterinary psychology, was it? Didn't you take some kind of course that covered this stuff?
Yeah, sort of, I guess. Abnormal psychology.
So, what do I do?
I think we should meet again. How's tomorrow for you?
Phil covers his own face with a cushion.
Is that not good?
Phil beats the cushion. Later, at a bowling alley, Phil drinks with two locals, Ralph and Gust.
I was in the Virgin Islands once. I met a girl. We ate lobster, drank pina coladas. At sunset, we made love like sea otters.
Ralph and Gust snigger.
That was a pretty good day. Why couldn't I get that day over? And over.
You know, some guys would look at this glass and they would say, you know, that glass is half empty. Other guys would say, that glass is half full. I think you was a glass is half empty kind of guy, am I right?
What would you do if you were stuck in one place and every day was exactly the same and nothing that you did mattered?
Now that sums it up for me.
Later, they leave, all slightly drunk.
Good luck. I'll drop you off.
Ralph can't open the car door and falls over.
This thing sticks a little bit.
You got it. Got it. Oh.
Come on out of here, pal. Oh, come on, give me your keys, pal. Give me the keys. Friends don't let friends drive, right? Come on, stand up here. Take a deep breath. You feel okay? Really? Okay, all right.
Ralph falls over again. Phil catches him.
Oh, whoa. You want to throw up here, or you want to throw up in the car?
I think both.
Come on.
Guts leaves without them. He returns.
I really don't think I should be driving.
No, I don't either.
Watch it. Hey.
Oh, watch your knees. Break anything. All right. Hey, let's not forget seatbelts.
Hey, who else could go for some flapjacks right now?
Phil, having squeezed them both into the front with him, drives away.
Let me ask you guys a question.
Shoot.
What if there were no tomorrow?
No tomorrow. That would mean there would be no consequences. There would be no hangovers. We could do whatever we wanted. Ah!
That's true. We could do whatever we want.
Phil turns the car and drives over to mailbox.
Hey, Phil, if we wanted to hit mailboxes, we could let Ralph drive.
Yeah.
A police car decides to pull them over.
Oh! Hey, Phil!
Oh, I think they want you to stop.
Hang on.
Phil brakes sharply, which causes the police car to swerve and crash into a pile of rubbish. Phil drives on.
It's the same thing your whole life. Clean up your room, stand up straight, pick up your feet, take it like a man. Be nice to your sister. Don't mix beer and wine, ever. Oh, yeah. Don't drive on the railroad track.
Well, Phil, that's one I happen to agree with.
Phil has driven onto a railway line. He puts it into drive and accelerates away. All three bounce about with a police car still in pursuit.
I don't know, Gus. Sometimes I think you just have to take the big chances.
Hey,
we're talking in here!
A train is coming.
Yeah. I'm betting he's gonna swerve first.
They swerve just in time.
I'm not gonna live by their rules anymore.
I noticed that.
You make choices and you live with them.
More police cars approach. Phil corners and the car smashes through a giant groundhog sign and comes to a halt by crashing into a parked car. The police surround them.
Oh, my knee.
A policeman approaches Phil's window.
Let me handle this. Yeah, 3 cheeseburgers, 2 large fries, 2 chocolate shakes, and 1 large Coke.
And some flapjacks.
Too early for flapjacks?
Phil steps into a police cell, and the door is closed behind him. Suddenly, it is morning. Phil sits up in bed. He looks around and sees he's back in his pajamas.
Yes! Oh, rise and shine, campers! Don't forget your booties, because it's cold out there today. It's cold out there every day. What is this? Miami Beach, not hot. Okay.
Later in the breakfast room, Mrs. Lancaster greets him.
Oh, hey.
Slept like a baby, thank you. I'd love some of your coffee, please.
I hope...
Corey's moving in a little bit later, but the blizzard's going to hit outside of town. Mrs. Lancaster, was anybody looking for me here this morning? Perhaps a state official, maybe a blue hat, gun, nightstick?
Oh, no, no one like that. Will there be?
Apparently not.
He gives her a big kiss on the lips.
Will you hold my room for me, please? I'm going to stay an extra day.
She is flustered as he leaves. Phil approaches the old man, begging.
Catch you tomorrow, huh?
He is spotted.
Hey! Phil? Hey! Phil Connors!
Ned?
Phil punches Ned and smiles. He's about to step in the puddle, but stops himself. Another bloke steps into it. Phil smiles again and gracefully hops over it. In the cafe, he has filled his table with every cream bun imaginable. Rita looks on, appalled. Phil offers her a small chocolate finger. She shakes her head.
I like to see a man of advancing years throwing caution to the wind. It's inspiring in a way.
My years are not advancing as fast as you might think.
More coffee, hon?
Yeah, just keep it coming, please.
Sure thing.
It's real nice. Just put that anywhere, pal.
Good save.
Phil lights a cigarette.
Don't you worry about cholesterol, lung cancer, love handles?
I don't worry about anything.
anymore.
What makes you so special? Everybody worries about something.
Well, that's exactly what makes me so special. I don't even have to floss.
He has a huge slice of cream cake and puts the whole thing into his mouth in one go. Oh.
What?
The wretch concentered all in self. Living shall forfeit fair renown, and doubly dying shall go down to the vile dust from whence he sprung, unwept, unhonored, and unsung, Sir Walter Scott. What, you don't like poetry?
I love poetry. I just thought that was Willard Scott. I was confused. You think I'm acting like this because I'm egocentric?
I know you're egocentric. It's your defining characteristic.
Are you guys ready? We better get going if we're going to stay ahead of the weather.
Thanks, Larry. Well, would you like a doggy bag?
No, I'm going to stay here and finish.
I thought you hated this town.
Well, it's beginning to grow on me. Larry, quit staring. These are excellent.
Bon appetit.
Hey, did you see the groundhog this morning?
Uh-huh. I never miss it.
What's your name?
Nancy Taylor. And you are?
What high school did you go to?
What?
High school.
Lincoln in Pittsburgh.
Sure.
Are you kidding?
No. In 12th grade, your English teacher was...
Mrs. Walsh.
Mrs. Walsh, yeah. Nancy. Lincoln. Walsh. Okay, thanks very much.
Hey.
He walks away.
Nancy Taylor! Lincoln High School! I sat next to you in Mrs. Walsh's English class.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Phil Connors!
Wow, that's amazing!
You don't remember me, do you?
I
even asked you to the prom.
Phil Connors?
I was short and I've sprouted.
Gosh, how are you?
Great. You look terrific. You look very, very terrific. Listen, I gotta go do this report.
Are you a reporter?
I'm a weatherman with Channel 9 Pittsburgh.
Wow, gosh, I should have known. That's great.
But maybe later we could...
Yeah, whatever.
Stay right here. Promise me?
Yes.
Okay, I'll be right back.
Okay.
Wish me luck.
Good luck!
That night, in front of his hotel room's fake log fire, Phil and Nancy make out on the settee. She climbs on top of him, and they kiss some more.
Oh, Phil.
Oh, Rita.
Nancy stops and turns the light on.
Who's Rita?
How should I know?
What is this, some kind of one-night stand?
On the contrary, Nancy, I love you. I've always loved you. This is going to seem sudden, but... Nancy, will you be my wife?
Oh, Phil.
Rita.
Nancy.
Whatever.
Daytime. Phil is sitting on a wall.
A gust of wind. Dog barks. Cue the truck.
An armored truck pulls up across the road from him.
Exit Herman. Walk out into the bank. Exit Felix and stand there with a not so bright look on your face. All right, Doris, come on. Hey, fix your bra, honey. That's better. Felix! How you doing, Doris? Can I have a roll of quarters? 10, 9, 8, 4, 6, 5 quarters. Oh.
3, 2...
Phil has casually walked up and taken a money bag while no one is looking. Herman, the guard, looks confused.
Felix, what, did I bring out 2 bags or what?
I don't know.
Evening. A vintage Mercedes car pulls up outside the cinema, which is showing Heidi 2. Phil steps out of the car. He's dressed as Clint Eastwood, complete with spurs. He glances around, surveying the scene, then walks round the car. His date for the night is dressed as a waitress in a short skirt.
Oh, I thought we were going to a costume party.
It's like I said, I love this film. I've seen it over 100 times.
Phil?
Told you. Call me Bronco.
Sorry, Bronco.
Nancy walks by.
Hi, Nancy.
She just stares at him.
My old fiancé. Doesn't remember me.
They walk to the ticket booth.
Hi.
That'll be one adult and...
Two adults,
I guess.
Another day.
Groundhog, who, as legend has it, can predict the coming of an early spring. So I guess the question we have to ask ourselves today is, does Phil feel lucky?
Rita, if you only had one day to live, what would you do with it?
I don't know, Phil. What are you dying of?
No. I mean, the whole world is about to explode. What do you do?
I just want to know where to put the camera. What are you looking for, Phil? A date for the weekend?
No, I'm just interested in you. You know, what do you want? What do you like? You know, what do you think about? What kind of men are you interested in? What do you do for fun?
Is this for real, Phil, or are you just trying to make me look like a fool?
I'm just trying to talk like normal people talk. Isn't this how they talk?
Plus.
Okay, so talk to me. Let me buy you a cup of coffee. And a donut.
All right.
In the Tip Top Cafe.
So what do you want out of life, anyway?
I guess I want what everybody wants, you know. Career, love, marriage, children.
Are you seeing anyone?
I think this is getting too personal. I don't think I'm ready to share this with you. How about you? What do you want?
What I really want is someone like you.
Oh, please.
Well, why not? What are you looking for? Who is your perfect guy?
Well, first of all, he's too humble to know he's perfect.
That's me.
He's intelligent, supportive, funny.
Intelligent, supportive, funny. Me.
He's romantic and courageous.
Me also.
He's got a good body, but he doesn't have to look in the mirror every 2 minutes.
I have a great body, and sometimes I go months without looking.
He's kind, sensitive, and gentle. He's not afraid to cry in front of me.
This is a man we're talking about, right?
He likes animals and children, and he'll change poopy diapers.
Does he have to use the word poopy?
Oh, and he plays an instrument, and he loves his mother.
I am really close on this one. Really, really close.
Phil removes a part of the van's engine.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Huh? That's Phil Connors.
Hello. Thanks for watching.
He smiles, and when it's safe, he turns away. Later, in the Pennsylvanian Hotel bar, Phil approaches Rita.
So, what are the chances of getting out today?
The van still won't start. Larry's working on it.
Wouldn't you know it. Can I buy you a drink?
Okay.
Jim Beam, ice, water.
For you, miss?
Sweet vermouth in the rocks with a twist, please.
Phil makes a mental note. The next day.
What are the chances of getting out of town today?
The van still won't start. Larry's working on it.
Oh, wouldn't you know it. Can I buy you a drink?
Okay.
Sweet vermouth, rocks with a twist, please.
For you, miss?
The same. That's my favorite drink.
Mine, too. It always makes me think of Rome. The way the sun hits the buildings in the afternoon.
Well, what should we drink to?
To the groundhog.
I always drink to world peace.
Phil makes a mental note. He tastes his drink. It is horrible, but he smiles when she looks at him. The next day.
Can I buy you a drink?
Okay.
Sweet vermouth, rocks with a twist, please.
For you, miss?
The same. That's my favorite drink.
Mine, too. Mm. It always makes me think of Rome. The way the sun hits the buildings in the afternoon.
Well, what should we drink to?
I like to say a prayer and drink to world peace.
To world peace.
World peace.
The barman gives a knowing smile. Later, in a sweet shop.
Mmm, this is wonderful.
Say, may I tell you?
Mmm. How do you know so much about Punxsutawney?
I spend a lot of time here. Small town people are more real, more down earth.
That's how I feel.
Really? Would you like to try some white chocolate?
Yuck. That'll make me sick.
No white chocolate.
There is something so familiar about this.
Hmm?
Do you ever have deja vu?
Didn't you just ask me that?
That night, in a restaurant.
I think people place too much emphasis on their careers. I wish we could all live in the mountains at high altitude. That's where I see myself in 5 years. How about you?
Oh, I agree. I just like to go with the flow. See where it leads me.
Well, it's led you here.
Mm-hmm. Of course, it's about 1,000,000 miles from where I started out in college.
You weren't in broadcasting and journalism?
Mm-mm. Believe it or not, I studied 19th century French poetry.
What a waste of time. I mean, for someone else, that would be an incredible waste of time. It's so bold of you to choose that. It's incredible. You must be a very, very strong person.
Another night.
I think people place too much emphasis on their careers. Gosh, I wish we could all live in the mountains, at high altitudes. That's where I see myself in 5 years. How about you?
Oh, I agree. I just like to go with the flow.
Yeah?
See what happens.
Well, it's gotten you here.
Uh-huh. Of course, it's 1,000,000 miles from where I started out in college.
Oh, yeah? You weren't in broadcasting or journalism, anything like that?
Believe it or not, I studied 19th century French poetry.
La fille qui j'aimera sera comme bon vin. Que c'est bon fiera. Un peu. Chaque matin.
You speak French.
Oui.
Later in the snow.
Get you. Ah! I haven't done this since I was a kid.
Me neither. It's fun.
Ah! It's good, clean fun.
They put the head onto a snowman.
I hope that one day I could do this with my own children.
He places 2 stones and a pipe into it.
Where'd you get that?
Well, I went over to the snowman shop.
Some youths throw snowballs.
Hey, an assassin! I'll protect you, Your Majesty. I shall die for you. Oh, you shall not take her. Find cover, my lady.
Yeah. Hey, nice arm.
I'm getting some good ones. Ooh, hey, there's a boy. That's a boy. Good cry. Ooh.
Help me.
He falls onto the ground next to her. They pause and look into each other's eyes.
And then you say hello.
She smiles.
And I can hardly speak. My heart.
Later,
so
on the empty bandstand, they waltz round and round as the snow gently falls.
You think you know me well.
The romantic waltz soon morphs into a wacky tango-like dance. She smiles as he tips her left and right.
Don't know the one.
Then they calm down and soon dance
and
on the spot. The romance returns. They ever so nearly kiss. They're walking together. They reach his bed and breakfast hotel.
What?
I'm just amazed, and I'm not easily amazed.
About what?
How you can start a day with one kind of expectation and end up so completely different.
Well, do you like the way this day is turning out?
I like it very much. It's a perfect day. You couldn't have planned a day like this.
Well, you can. It just takes an awful lot of work. Come on in. I want to show you something.
I don't think I should, Phil.
Oh, I don't think you should either. That's why I'm just going to show you this one thing and kick you right out. Just give me 1 minute.
Inside his room, she walked around, cheekily admiring all the fittings and furniture.
It's just lovely.
He follows her, and they pause by the bed.
Would you like to sit and stare at the fake fire?
Okay. It's a really wonderful room.
It is now.
They kiss, but he is more eager than she is.
I don't know, Phil. I don't think we should do this.
I don't either. Mm. No, on second thought, I think we should. It's the perfect end to a perfect day.
Well, it's a little fast for me.
Me too.
Maybe I should go.
Where would you go? Why? I've got a perfect fire. I've got some French poetry here. Baudelaire. C'est fantastique. I will read to you. I got some ice cream over on the windowsill. Well, hold on a minute.
He opens the window and brings the pot inside.
Rocky Road?
Oh, I love Rocky Road.
Yeah, I thought so. You have to stay.
Oh, no, really, Phil. I'm tired. We can see each other tomorrow.
No, tonight.
Oh.
It's gotta be tonight.
No, Phil, really.
Come on, just stay for a while, and then if you like it, stay for a while longer, and if you like that, stay for a while longer.
Let's not spoil it, okay?
Not spoiling it. I don't want to spoil it either.
You know I can't stay with you.
Why not? I love you.
You love me?
I love you.
You don't even know me.
Oh, I know you. I know you.
Oh, no. I can't believe I fell for this. This whole day has just been one long setup.
No, it hasn't.
And I hate fudge. Yuck.
No white chocolate, no fudge.
What are you doing? Are you making some kind of list or something?
No.
Did you call up my friends and ask them what I like and what I don't like?
No.
Is this what love is for you?
No, this is real. This is love.
Stop saying that. You must be crazy. I could never love someone like you, Phil, because you'll never love anyone but yourself.
That's not true. I don't even like myself. Give me another chance.
That's for making me care about you.
Phil places the ice cream against his stinging cheek. Another night in the snow.
I haven't done this since I was a kid.
It's fun.
Oh, and good clean fun, too. I think that's what's missing in the world today, don't you? Gosh, I can't wait to do this with my own children. Golly, I want kids, lots of kids. I want to adopt, I want to have my own kids, I want to have foster kids. I got this over at Snowman City. Look for them around the house. Hey, some kid just threw a snowball at us. Hey, come here. Let's have some fun. Come on, hey.
Yeah.
Hey, kids, come on. I wish these were my own kids hitting me like this. Hey. Hey, ow, ow. Are any of you up for adoption? Hey, here's a humdinger over here. Hey, wasn't that great?
He falls onto the ground next to her, then keeps shuffling closer and closer to her in his eagerness.
Stop it!
Each night has finished with Rita slapping his face. Phil, slightly punch drunk, opens her hotel door and she goes in. He walks away, feeling his cheek. He walks alone and passes some ice sculptures. He almost smirks as another thought occurs to him. It is Groundhog Day again. Phil, looking tired and dishevelled, approaches the stage area.
Phil! Over here! Where have you been? You're missing all the fun. Phil, you look terrible. What happened? Rough night?
Yeah.
Okay, campers. Rise and shine. And don't forget your booties, because it's cold out there today. It's cold out there every day.
This country's largest lake, Chapala, is located near the city of Guadalajara.
What is Mexico?
Leslie.
What is Mexico?
Correct.
Lakes and rivers 400.
Seneca is the largest of these lakes in west central New York.
What are the Finger Lakes?
Jim.
What are the Finger Lakes?
Correct.
Lakes and rivers for 600.
This South American lake drains into the smaller lake.
What is Titicaca?
In Bolivia. Jim.
What is Titicaca?
Correct.
Lakes and rivers for 1,000.
Milky colored from glacial clay when entering Lake Geneva, this river is clear blue upon exiting. Jim?
What is the Rhone?
The Rhone, good for $1,000.
Watching a game show, Phil has impressed the other guests at his B&B. Another day.
This is pitiful. 1,000 people freezing their butts off waiting to worship a rat. What a hype. Sound like they used to mean something in this town. They used to pull the hog out and they used to eat it. You're hypocrites, all of you. You got a problem with what I'm saying, Larry? Untie your tongue and you come out here and talk, huh? Am I upsetting you, Princess? You know, you want a prediction about the weather. You're asking the wrong, Phil. I'll give you a winter prediction. It's gonna be cold, it's gonna be gray, and it's gonna last you for the rest of your life.
The alarm clock says 6 a.m. Phil nudges it onto the floor. This time, he punches it until it breaks. This time, he holds it high and hurls it to the ground. Another day.
Once again, the eyes of the nation have turned here to this tiny village in western Pennsylvania. Blah, 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 blah. There is no way that this winter is ever going to end as long as this groundhog keeps seeing his shadow. I don't see any other way out. He's got to be stopped. And I have to stop him.
Real good, Phil. Real good.
He's out of his gourd.
Later, Rita and Larry are by the van.
I'm worried. I think there's something really wrong with Phil.
Yeah, there's a lot of things really wrong with Phil.
Oh, hi, Phil.
I've come to the end of me, Rita. There's no way out now. I just want you to remember we had a beautiful day together once.
Phil kisses her cheek and walks up to the groundhog officials.
All right, little fella. Good job. He just smiled at me. Did you see that?
I believe he did.
Okay, little fella, there you go.
Hi there, mister. Something I can do you for?
Phil steals the car.
Hey! Hey, what are you doing? Hey!
Word out! Somebody kidnapped Phil! We're going after him!
A police car and the officials give chase.
Why would anybody steal a ground?
I could probably think of a couple of reasons. Herbert.
Rita and Larry also follow in the van. Phil turns sharp left, followed by the officials, the police car, and the van. The chase continues. Phil has opened the box, and the groundhog stands on his lap, with his front paws on the wheel like he's driving.
He must have just snapped.
This ought to be good.
What is he doing?
What can he be thinking?
That's not bad for a quadruped. You gotta check your mirrors, just side of your eye. Side of your eye.
The signposts inform them that the road leads to the limestone quarry.
Hey, they're chasing us. Come on, make it fun.
They skid and nearly hit some giant diggers.
Don't drive angry. Don't drive angry.
And smash through a locked gate. They hurtle down towards some huge slag heaps. But all the other cars skid to a halt. The head groundhog official jumps out first.
dog. There's no way out except the way we came in. We got him now.
Larry starts to film as, in the distance, Phil's car reappears, pointing right at them. He stops and stares menacingly, revving the engine over and over.
What the hell is he doing?
I don't know.
The policeman gets his gun ready.
You gotta shoot. Aim high. I don't want to hit the ground hard.
Rita is shocked. Phil threatens some more in the distance.
Well, we mustn't keep our public waiting, huh?
It's showtime, Phil.
He accelerates towards them. They back away.
All right, on me, Larry, in 3, 2, 1.
The car drives over the edge and into the canyon. It falls, serenely, until it lands far below on its roof.
He might be okay.
The car explodes.
Well, no, probably not now.
A bright orange fireball rises into the sky. The alarm clock shows 5:59, then 6 a.m. Phil wakes up, sits up, and it's room. Mrs. Lancaster greets him.
Did you sleep well, Mr. Connors? Would you like some... toast?
He has unplugged the toaster and taken it. In the bathroom, he plugs it in, steps into the bath full of water, starts the toaster, lifts it up, and the breakfast room lights go out.
Oh my God.
Next day, Phil steps out in the path of a lorry. Next day, high up on a clock tower, Phil is staring into the distance. He puts his arms out and allows himself to fall. In the mortuary, Rita and Larry identify his body.
That's him.
He was a really, really great guy. I really, really liked him. A lot.
Another day. In the cafe, while Rita talks to Phil, Doris the waitress tries to take their order.
I'm sorry? What was that again?
I'm a god.
You're a god.
I'm a god. I'm not the god. I don't think.
Because you survived a car wreck?
You folks ready to order?
I didn't just survive a wreck. I wasn't just blown up yesterday. I have been stabbed, shot, poisoned, frozen, hung, electrocuted, and burned.
Oh, really?
And every morning I wake up without a scratch on me, not a dent in the fender. I am an immortal.
Special today is blueberry waffles.
Why are you telling me this?
Because I want you to believe in me.
You're not a god. You can take my word for it. This is 12 years of Catholic school talking.
I could come back if you're not ready.
How do you know I'm not a god?
Oh, please.
How do you know?
Because it's not possible.
Doris.
He stands up, dragging Rita with him.
This is Doris. Her brother-in-law, Carl, owns this diner. She's worked here since she was 17. More than anything else in her life, she wants to see Paris before she dies.
Oh, boy, what are you doing?
This is Debbie Kleiser and her fiancé, Fred.
Do I know you?
They're supposed to be getting married this afternoon, but Debbie is having second thoughts.
What?
Lovely ring.
This is Bill. He's been a waiter for 3 years since he left Penn State and had to get work. He likes the town, he paints toy soldiers, and he's gay.
I am.
This is Gus. He hates his life here. He wishes he stayed in the Navy.
Well, I could have retired on half pay after 20 years.
Excuse me, is this some kind of trick?
Well, maybe the real God uses tricks. You know, maybe he's not omnipotent. He's just been around so long, he knows everything.
Oh, okay. Well, who's that?
This is Tom. He worked in the coal mine until they closed the town.
And her?
It's Alice. Came over here from Ireland when she was a baby. She lived in Erie most of her life.
He's right. And her?
Nancy. She works in the dress shop and makes noises like a chipmunk when she gets real excited.
Hey!
It's true.
How do you know these people?
I told you. I know everything. In about 5 seconds, a waiter's gonna drop a tray of dishes. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay?
Okay, that's enough. Oh, yeah. What about me, Phil? Do you know me, too?
I know all about you. You like producing, but you hope for more than Channel 9 Pittsburgh.
Well, everyone knows that.
You like boats, but not the ocean. You go to a lake in the summer with your family up in the mountains. There's a long wooden dock and a boathouse with boards missing from the roof. And a place you used to crawl underneath to be alone. You're a sucker for French poetry and rhinestones. You're very generous. You're kind to strangers and children. And when you stand in the snow, you look like an angel.
How are you doing this?
I told you, I wake up every day right here, right in Punxsutawney, and it's always February 2nd. And there's nothing I can do about it. If you still can't believe me, listen. In 10 seconds, Larry is going to come through that door and take you away from me. But you can't let him.
Larry.
Please believe me. You've got to believe me.
For Rita, he writes down what Larry is about to say.
You guys ready? We better get going if we're going to stay ahead of the weather. What's that?
If we're going to stay ahead of the weather.
Later that morning, in the town square.
Maybe it really is happening. I mean, how else could you know so much?
Well, there is no way. I'm not that smart.
Maybe I should spend the rest of the day with you as an objective witness, just to see what happens.
Gee, this sounds like a science project. Concentrate. You gotta want it. You gotta want it, Rita. Oh, come on. It's more in the wrist than the finger. It's just gotta...
Sitting on his bed, they're flicking playing cards into a distant top hat.
Be the hat. Come on, go. Be the hat.
It would take me a year to get good at this.
No, 6 months. 4 to 5 hours a day, and you'd be an expert.
Is this what you do with eternity?
Now you know. That's not the worst part.
What's the worst part?
The worst part is that tomorrow you will have forgotten all about this, and you'll treat me like a jerk again.
No.
It's all right, I am a jerk.
No, you're not.
It doesn't make any difference. I've killed myself so many times, I don't even exist anymore.
Well, sometimes I wish I had 1,000 lifetimes. I don't know, Phil, maybe it's not a curse. It just depends on how you look at it.
Gosh, you're an upbeat lady.
I want you to know it's been a really nice day for me.
Me too.
And maybe, if it's not too boring, we could do it again sometime.
I hope so.
She hugs him and watches as the alarm clock drops to 12 midnight.
You're still here. Oh, I thought you were supposed to disappear, or I was, or something.
Not until 6.
Oh, you rat!
I never said midnight.
You knew I was waiting for midnight.
Does this mean you're gonna leave?
Oh, no.
Good.
Okay.
It is 3 a.m. They lie together. Phil has been reading poetry to her.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's all right, you can fall asleep. I promise I won't touch you. Much.
That's all right. I'm not tired. What were you saying?
I think the last thing that you heard was only God can make a tree.
Really?
She falls asleep on him. He carefully shuffles from beneath her and lets her get comfortable. Then he covers her with a blanket before lying down next to her. He studies her face.
What I wanted to say was, I think you're the kindest, sweetest, prettiest person I've ever met in my life.
I've never seen anyone that's nicer to people than you are.
He kisses her cheek.
And the first time I saw you, something happened to me. I never told you, but I knew that I wanted to hold you as hard as I could. I don't deserve someone like you. But if I ever could, I swear I would love you for the rest of my life.
Did you say something?
The alarm clock turns to 6 a.m. Phil lies awake in bed. He looks to his side. She's not there. He jumps out of bed and peers out of the window.
Okay, campers, rise and shine, and don't forget your booties, because it's cold out there.
He makes a decision. Later, on the street corner, he comes to the old man begging. Phil stops and starts counting some money to give him, but ends up giving it all. He arrives in Gobbler's Knob with coffee and pastries. He is smiling and happy as he enters the throng of dancing people. Rita and Larry are not as ready as they usually are.
Wants coffee. Get it while it's hot.
Oh, thanks, Phil.
Larry, skim milk, 2 sugar.
Yeah, thanks, Phil.
Pastry.
No, we're just setting up.
Pastry, Larry, take your pick.
Well, thanks, Phil. Raspberry, great.
See, I was just talking with Buster Green. He's the head groundhog honcho. And he said if we set up over here, we might get a better shot. What do you think?
Sounds good.
Larry, what do you think?
Yeah. Let's go for it.
Good work, Phil.
Maybe we'll get lucky. Let me give you a hand with the heavy stuff.
No, you got your coffee. I'll get it. Thanks.
We never talk, Larry. Do you have kids?
Phil is sitting in the cafe. He has a pile of classic literature with him, such as Ulysses. He looks up from his reading, glances around at the other people, and smiles. He is content. Later, he approaches the front door of a house. A lady answers.
Yes?
Yes, I'd like a piano lesson, please.
Oh, okay. I'm with a student now, but if you want to come back tomorrow, I can probably...
Well, I kind of want to get started. I could give you $1,000.
Cut it!
A young girl, the previous student, is thrown out. Looking forlorn, she walks away. Phil leaves his hotel room, meeting the man in the hallway.
Morning! Off to see the groundhog.
Buongiorno, signore!
Phil kisses his cheeks.
Think it's gonna be an early spring?
Winter, slumbering in the open air, wears on his smiling face a dream of spring. Ciao!
Ciao!
The man proudly inhales and walks off. In his piano lesson, Phil chews gum as he plays. The piano teacher looks on as he blows a bubble. She cringes at the wrong notes. Later, a man is making a beautiful angelic ice sculpture. It is Phil. Rita and Larry stand in the crowd, watching in amazement.
Phil!
Rita, hi.
Hey, Lear.
Hi.
How's she look?
Great.
Thank you.
Did you know he could ice sculpt?
No.
Another piano lesson.
Not bad, Mr. Connors. You say this is your first lesson?
Yes, but my father was a piano mover, so.
Phil, in the street, is spotted.
Phil? Phil Connors, I thought it was you.
Ned Ryerson.
Yes.
I have missed you so much.
Phil hugs him really hard.
I don't know where you're headed, but can you call in sick?
I gotta get going. It's good to see you, Phil.
Ned runs off. Phil smiles. That night, Phil walks by an alleyway and sees the old man shivering and alone.
Hello, Father. Let's get you someplace warm. Yeah, remember me?
Later in the hospital, Phil waits for news.
Sir, are you the one who brought the old man in?
Mm-hmm. How's he?
Well, he just passed away.
What did he die of?
He was just old. It was just his time.
I want to see his chart. Excuse me.
Sir! Sir, you can't come in here. Sir, this is a restricted area.
Phil opens the curtain and stares.
Where's the chart?
Sometimes people just die.
Not today.
Next day, Phil sits in the cafe with the old man. He's bought him soup and toast.
It's hard down there at the bottom.
The old man looks at him and smiles.
Here you go.
Thank you.
But that night, Phil finds the old man in the gutter.
Come on, Dad. Come on, Pop. Come on, Pop. Come on, come on. Come on, breathe. Breathe, Pop. Breathe, Pop.
Phil's attempts to resuscitate him fail. A last gasp, and the old man dies. Phil looks up to the sky. Next day, doing his report.
When Chekhov saw the long winter, he saw a winter bleak and dark and bereft of hope. Yet we know that winter is just another step in the cycle of life. But standing here among the people of Punxsutawney and basking in the warmth of their hearths and hearts, I couldn't imagine a better fate than a long and lustrous winter. From Punxsutawney, it's Phil Connors. So long.
Nice speech, Phil. Very nice.
Thank you.
Thanks. How was that for you two?
Hey, man. You touched me.
Oh, thanks, Larry.
Thank you.
I gotta go. Okay?
Phil, That was surprising. I didn't know you were so versatile.
I surprise myself sometimes.
Well, where are you going? Would you like to get a cup of coffee?
I'd love to. Can I have a rain check? I've got some errands I've got to run. Okay?
Phil! Errands? What errands? I thought we were going back.
Phil walks down a street. He looks at his watch and suddenly realizes the time. He sprints. A boy falls out of a tree, but Phil is there to catch him.
What do you say? What do you say? What do you say, you little brat? You have never thanked me. I'll see you tomorrow. Maybe.
A car's tire has a puncture and it pulls over. There are three elderly ladies inside.
You totaled it.
No.
It's only a flat tire.
Well, how are we going to get to this?
What? Oh, it's an earthquake.
Oh, it's not an earthquake.
Oh. What is it?
Phil is jacking the car up. The driver peers out.
Thank you, young
nothing, ma'am. I had the tire and the jack. Just be comfortable, all right? Be a minute.
Who's that? Must be from the motor club.
In a restaurant, Buster begins to choke.
Oh, my God, he's having a heart attack. Do something. What can I do? Call 411 and ambulance. The lawyer's out here. Anything. Oh, my God.
Phil appears, grabs him, and performs the Heimlich maneuver.
I think I did it.
If you're gonna eat steak, get some sharper teeth, all right? Enjoy your
life. Oh, thank you.
What's that? I'm fine.
Are you sure? Oh, yes.
At the Pennsylvanian Hotel bar, Larry chats to Nancy.
No, people just don't understand what is involved in this. This is an art form. You know, I think that most people just think that I hold a camera and point it at stuff. But there is a heck of a lot more to it than just that. Hey, would you be at all interested in seeing the inside of the van?
Oh, you know, I really have to get back to the party.
Great idea. I think I'll go with you. Let me just drop a tip here. Okay.
He places two notes on the bar. As she isn't looking, he scoops one back.
Rita, hi.
Hi.
How are you? Rita, this is Nancy.
Hi.
Nancy, Rita. We were just going to go to the party. You going to go?
Yeah, sounds like fun. Maybe we should call Phil.
Phil Connors? I think he's already in there.
Great.
Rita is stunned. Inside, it is the Groundhog Day Festival Banquet. Everyone is dancing and having a good time. They walk in, and enjoying the scene, Larry places his arm around Nancy's shoulders. She removes it for him. Then, looking at the band on the stage, Rita notices the pianist. It is Phil. She walks through the crowd, approaching the stage with a huge, amazed grin on her face. Phil looks up and sees her. He signals, and the band stop. They smile at each other. Phil starts a classic. As the band joins in, Rita enjoys the music. She stands next to the proud piano teacher. Both are in awe. The crowd dance, and Rita claps along and dances a little too. Piano teacher turns to Rita.
Isn't he good?
He's great.
He's my student.
I'm so proud.
Thank you. Hello, welcome to our party.
Phil, I didn't know you could play like that.
Oh, I'm versatile.
Phil takes Rita's hand and they start a slow dance.
Nice young man from the motor club. Thank you again.
It's nothing, ladies.
He's the fastest jack in Jefferson County.
What was that all about?
I really don't know. They've been hitting on me all night.
There you are. I never thanked you properly for what you did for Buster. Well, he would have choked for sure.
Well, he may have. He was trying to swallow a whole cow.
I owe you one, buddy.
Hang on to him, dear. He's a real find.
What did you do today?
Oh, same old, same old.
Excuse me, Mr. Connors.
Hey, Fred, how was the wedding?
Well, I just wanted to thank you for making Debbie go through with it and everything.
All I did was fan the flame of her passion for you, Fred.
You are the best.
No, you are the best. Rita, this is Debbie and Fred Kleiser.
Hi.
Here you go, kids. Congratulations.
What is this? No way. No way.
WrestleMania! No way!
No, we're like going to be in Pittsburgh anyway.
you, Mr. Connors. You're a real pal.
Oh, this is the best.
I don't understand.
Yeah, I guess not.
How does everyone know you? I mean, you only come here once a year, and you seem like the most popular person in town.
Excuse me?
Yes.
Dr. Connors?
Yes.
I want to thank you for fixing Felix's back. Oh. He can even help around the house again.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Felix.
Dr. Connors?
It's kind of an honorary title.
What is going on?
I really don't know.
No, there is something going on with you.
Would you like the long version or the short one?
Let's start with the short and go from there.
Buster steps up to the microphone.
Okay, folks, attention. Time for the big bachelor auction. Now you all know the rules. All the eligible bachelors come down in front. And you ladies, you bid on them. And you get to do whatever you want with them. No questions asked.
I don't want to know about it, as long as it's legal. Okay, so get out your pocketbooks and remember, it's all for charity.
Doris looks around.
Phil, what are you doing down here? Come on, get up there. I got $10 that says you're mine. Hey, Buster, I got your first victim.
Phil Connors, come on up here. All right, now what am I bid for this fine specimen?
$5.
The bidding has begun at $5.
$10.
$15.
$20.
$25.
$30.
$35.
$40.
$45.
$50.
$55.
$60.
I'm bid $60. Do I hear more?
Rita, emptying her purse, beats Doris and Nancy's bidding.
$39.88.
Well, I don't think we can accept any more bids. I think that's sold to the little lady for $339.88. Congratulations.
She walks up to the stage and offers her hand. Phil takes it and steps down.
Okay, bachelors, who's next?
Larry looks at Nancy and volunteers. He stands by Buster and slowly spins round for all to admire him.
All right, now what am I bid for this guy? Well, here, $1.50. Anybody? 75 cents.
I bid $2.
Sold, little lady, for 25 cents.
I got him!
The old lady jumps for joy while Larry curses. Meanwhile, in the lobby, Phil is spotted.
Phil Connors, I thought that was you.
Rita, this is Ned Ryerson. He's my new insurance agent.
I'll say. I have not seen this guy for 20 years. He comes up to me and then he buys whole life term, Uniflex, fire, theft, auto, dental, health, with the optional death and dismemberment plan, water damage. Phil, this is the best day of my life.
Mine too.
Mine too.
Where are we going?
Oh, let's not spoil it.
Oh, let's not. Oh, I got that.
Why can't I look?
Because you bother me. A lot.
I'm getting cold. How much longer do I have to sit here?
I'm just trying to give you your money's worth. You paid top dollar for me.
Well, I think you were a bargain.
Sweetie to say. You're probably right.
Is it finished yet?
Almost. I still have to put some cherry syrup on the top and then we can eat it.
Come on, Phil. I'm freezing.
One second. Let me turn the light.
Phil has made a beautiful ice carving of Rita's face.
It's amazing. It's beautiful. How did you do that?
I know your face so well, I could have done it with my eyes closed.
It's lovely. I don't know what to say.
I do. No matter what happens tomorrow or for the rest of my life, I'm happy now because I love you.
I think I'm happy too.
They kiss. Slowly, it begins to snow on them. They both notice the falling flakes and kiss again. Then they head off towards Phil's B&B. The alarm clock shows 5:59. It clicks to 6 a.m. Phil's eyes open. He sighs.
Oh, please, not again.
That is a great sign.
No, it's not.
No, don't listen to this man.
It's too early.
Rita has switched it off. In shock, Phil pulls a hair from her arm.
Oh.
Something is different.
Good or bad?
Anything different is good. But this could be real good. Why are you here?
I bought you, I own you.
But why are you still here?
You said stay, so I stayed.
I said stay, so you stayed.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even make a call, he stay. I gotta check something. Oh, stay, stay.
They're gone. They're all gone.
Do you know what today is?
No, what?
Today is tomorrow. It happened. You're here.
I'm here. Oh, Phil, why weren't you like this last night? You just fell asleep.
It was the end of a very long day. Is there anything I can do for you today?
Oh, I'm sure I could think of something.
They smile and kiss. As they embrace, the alarm clock shows 6:01, and outside the window, an empty street is covered in freshly fallen snow. Phil and Rita exit the B&B.
It's so beautiful.
They hold hands and walk together.
Let's live here.
They embrace and kiss.
We'll rent to start.
What a day this has been. What a ram.
They run down to the gate. Without opening it, Phil picks her up and lifts her over it. Then he climbs over the gate after her. They happily walk off into the snowy distance.
All the music of life.
The end.
Like a bell that is ringing for me. And from the way that I feel, when that bell starts to peal, I would swear I was falling. Swear I was falling. Why, it's almost like being in love.